Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hello and welcome to At the Organ. I'm your host, Jim Logue. At the Organ is a weekly look at what's happening in the world of classical organ music. We look at the stories behind some of the music and the people who play it. Today is November 23rd. In the Catholic Church, it's the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. So in honor of this celebration, we're going to play two selections for you. The former Crystal Cathedral is in the process of being renovated to become the Christ Cathedral for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, California. Part of that renovation includes a complete overhaul and restoration of the Grand Hazelrite organ, which after 30 years was in pretty bad shape. Many of the organ's pipes are being shipped to Italy to the factories of Fratelli Ruffati, who originally installed the organ, to be cleaned and restored. A total organ restoration is expected to take about 2 years. Our first hymn for the Solemnity of Christ the King was recorded on that organ at the Crystal Cathedral, recorded by a cathedral's organist from 1982 until around 1998, Frederick Swan. Composed by Matthew Bridges and Godfrey Thring, the text of the hymn is a combined effort of these two distinguished Anglican clergymen, each of whom desired to write a hymn of exaltation to our suffering but now victorious Lord. The tune, Diadernata, the Greek word for crowns, was composed especially for this text by George Elvey, a noted organist at St. George's Chapel in Windsor, England, where British royalty often attend. This is Frederick Swan on the organ at the Crystal Cathedral. Crown him with many crowns.
Thank you.
Now you just heard the hymn, O Worship the King. The hymn was written by Sir Robert Grant, a Scottish Anglican, who, because of his father's association with the East India Company, was born in India in 1779. Robert's father, Charles Grant, supported Wilberforce, an early effective opponent of slavery. Both father and son served as members of Parliament and directors of the East India Company. Robert wrote this hymn in 1833, a year before being appointed governor of Bombay, a position that he held until his death. The hymn was inspired by a 16th century hymn by William Keith, a hymn that was in turn inspired by Psalm 104. It was performed by Daniel Dirksen on the 1910 Woodstock Casavant organ at the First Baptist Church in Ingersoll, Ontario, Canada, where he serves as the director of music. You're listening to At the Organ. Well, we have several composers celebrating birthdays this week. Our first composer will turn 168 years old on November 25th. Sergei Ivanovich Taneyev was a pupil of Tchaikovsky at the Moscow Conservatory, studying piano under the conservatory director Nikolai Rubinstein. He was a soloist at the premier Moscow performance of Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1. He was not, however, the original choice as pianist. The original choice was Gustav Kross, but a performance 3 weeks earlier in St. Petersburg was so bad, he was replaced by Taneyev. Eventually, Taneyev became director at the conservatory in Moscow. Well, Taneyev and Tchaikovsky became good friends, but Taneyev was well known for being very blunt in his criticism. Once Tchaikovsky wrote to Taneyev saying, quote, I know you are absolutely sincere and I think a great deal of your judgment, but I also fear it. In 1915, while attending a funeral, Taneyev contracted pneumonia. On June 19, 1915, he died of a heart attack in Detkova near Moscow. There was a museum in Detkova dedicated to Sergei Taneyev. Organist Ian Quinn will perform one of Sergei Taneyev's compositions, the Chorale Varié, on the 1851 Willis Harrison & Harrison organ at the Winchester Cathedral in England. Dr. Quinn is currently finishing his first year as assistant professor of organ at Florida State University.
Thank you.
You are listening to At the Organ.
Another birthday this week, also on November 25th, is that of Kansas City, Missouri native Virgil Thompson. Thompson was born November 25th, 1897. During his lifetime, Thompson served as a music critic for the New York Herald Tribune and was an author and composer. Some of his most famous works include the stage play Four Saints in Three Acts and The Mother of Us All. He also composed music for film, including The Plow That Broke the Plains, The River, and Louisiana Story. Thompson incorporated popular American tunes and hymns in much of his work. He helped a lot in the advancement of American composers. Included in his many honors and awards are the Pulitzer Prize, the Gold Medal for Music from the American Academy and Institute of Arts and Letters, the National Book Circle Award, the Kennedy Center Honors, and 20 honorary doctorates. While it's not yet Christmas, we're going to feature this piece composed by Virgil Thompson. It's called Pastoral on a Christmas Plain Song. It's performed by organist Robert Grogan on a 1964 Moeller organ at the Basilica of the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., an organ I once had the privilege of playing. You're listening to At the Organ. November 28th is the birthday of Anton Rubinstein. Born in Russia in 1829, Anton Rubinstein was a great performer in his time and a clear rival to Liszt and other great pianists of the 19th century. He had a marked effect on the development of Russian music, establishing the first system of professional musical training at a new conservatory in St. Petersburg in 1862. His brother Nikolai set up a similar institution in Moscow. As a composer, Anton Rubinstein was quite prolific, writing, as his brother suggested, enough music for both of them. He composed 17 operas, 6 symphonies, 5 piano concertos, and many more works for piano and other instruments. One of Rubinstein's most popular pieces, which we're going to feature today, is his Kamennoi Ostrov, Opus 10, number 22. Now, this is one of a set of pieces named after an island in the Neva River in Russia. The following short article from Musical Trades gives an excellent idea of the source of Rubinstein's inspiration. Kamennoi Ostrov, or Kamennoi Island in English, lies in the Neva River near St. Petersburg. Any afternoon in summer, if you walk to the furthest extremity of its pine-treed avenues, you can see Finland in the distance, beyond a strip of sea, silvered under this clear northern light. The delicate white chalets of the rich Petersburgers are set like pearls amid its greenness. Verdure and silvering lights are so rare in raw, blizzardly Russia that they make this fitly a poetic spot, and when the chimes of the island bells break melodiously upon your ear, you're ready to believe that Arkady is in Russia and not Greece. It was like this when Rubinstein, the dreamy-eyed, wandered here, happy and enchanted with the bells. The music so haunted his ears that on his return to the chalet of the Grand Duchess Helene, whose honored guest he was, he wrote his famous composition, Kamennoi Ostrov, in which the soft chimes of the bells ring as sweetly as they do on this island. Virgil Fox recorded this on a 1964 Aeolian Skinner organ at the Riverside Church in New York in 1959.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed today's program. If you'd like to listen to this episode or past episodes, please visit our website, www.attheorgan.com. I'm Jim Logue. Thank you for listening.
At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at the Organ.